My brothers and sisters in Christ, today we get to hear again the very weak faith of the Sadducees who are challenging Jesus on the resurrection. And that gives me opportunity to, for my favorite joke about the Sadducees, do you know how they got their name? They don't believe that there's a resurrection. That's why they're so sad, you see. Sorry, that's a very good one. It's very funny. But it's true, too. If you don't believe that you're actually going to rise from the dead, that's a pretty sad life. This is all there is. And this is exactly what the Sadducees are trying to do. They're trying to prove to Jesus that there is no resurrection. And Jesus says to God, all are alive. All are alive. All will rise from the dead. Towards the end of the church year, which we are nearing, Advent's only a few weeks away, the church has us focus in on those last things, death, judgment, heaven and hell, the final four, the real final four. To help us meditate on death, especially, we're given this harrowing story from the book of Maccabees. It's a historical account of what happened to seven brothers and their mom. If you can imagine, there's really no reason for us to buy horror movies. All we have to do is read the book of Maccabees. It's miserable. And you only get a little snippet there in chapter 7 of the second book of Maccabees. If you want the full brunt of it, read the whole chapter. The seven brothers had their hands and their feet chopped off and were scalped and were burning when they made this witness to the king who was putting them through such horrors and such torture. And as he's burning, we were amazed, obviously, by their faith, by all of their faith. The mother who was killed last of all, she too was martyred. And the fact that she was watching all of this, and the younger ones had to watch the older ones be killed. There's no doubt in our minds and in our hearts that these people believe that this is not the end. This is not the end. We're given at the end of that reading the quote from this fourth brother whose, as I said, hands and feet have been cut off. He's thrown into the fire, is burning. And here's what his words are to the king. It is my choice to die at the hands of men with the hope God gives of being raised up by him. But for you, there will be no resurrection to life. And we should know that he says this without spite. He says this for fear of the loss of the soul of this king and all the crazy people that are following him, not knowing how transgressing God's laws and being unfaithful to him is going to lead them to perdition and to lead them to eternal condemnation. He's not so much worried about his hands or his siblings who are being killed as much as he's concerned for that king. That is where the real concern is. He says, quote, there will be no resurrection to life for you. Ouch. That's a real teaching from our church, as we know that that there is a hell. What's the latest news about hell? Well, actually, we don't hear very much about it. I think it's kind of like we think that if we don't think about it or don't talk about it, maybe it'll just disappear. And that's just not true. That's what we do when we tell a lie. We think, well, maybe if we just lie, it'll all go away. And we know that's not true. We would be wise to think about not what we would like to think, but what actually is real, what actually is true. And one difficult reality we must acknowledge is that there is a hell. Everyone will rise from the dead, some to life and some to condemnation. The Catechism describes hell as the state of definitive self-exclusion from communion with God and the blessed. state of definitive self-exclusion from communion with God and the blessed, with all the saints. Now remember, we have a Savior who died, shed his precious blood, had his hands and feet nailed to a cross so that we could walk into heaven wholesome. And he died for every single person. He was hoping, beyond hope, that all of us would come to the fullness of his life in heaven. This is what he intends for each and every one of us. He doesn't want us to be Sadducees. He wants us to be filled with the greatest hope. We are made for heaven. We are made to rise to new life. But what this definition from the Catechism tells us, which should shake us very much, is that what hell is self-exclusion. It's selfishness to the extreme. God, in all his power and might, will do everything, to bring us to heaven, to have us rise with his Son to the glory of heaven, where he wants us to be, not because we deserve it, but because he loves us. But we have to shake ourselves from those thoughts of needing to go to condemnation. And so the devil throws all kinds of sins in our way, including scrupulosity, including all of the deadly sins, in order to keep us focused on self, on selfishness. We don't belong to him. We don't belong to the Father of lies. We belong to Christ, who died for us and gave us everything that we need to go to heaven. St. Paul tells us, "But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. We are confident of you in the Lord that what we instruct you, you are doing and will continue to do. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the endurance of Christ." These seven brothers and their mother were already doing that before St. Paul even wrote it. Before Jesus even rose from the dead, they were already living with endurance the great and horrific difficulties that are coming their way. And so it should deeply inspire us to practice our faith. And in this month of November, I'll tell you one of the greatest ways for us to practice our faith, and throughout the year, it should be a reminder to us, is to pray for those who have died. It's one of the seven corporal works of mercy. It's the last one on the list. We have a beautiful book up here in front of the church on our little white table with the names of those people who have died. When we pray for those who have died, we are doing a great work of mercy, and we are, just by that act, if you think about it, we are professing our belief in the resurrection, that this is not the end, that we will rise again. How important it is for us to pray for those people who have died, to think about them and to commend them to Almighty God. The month of November, we have the Feast of All Souls and All Saints. So to write the names of those who we love who have died, or even those that we don't love who have died, to write their names in the book that God may bring them to heaven. And then to go to the places where they are buried. Go and visit the places where your loved ones are buried and pray for them. These are all signs that you and I believe that death is not the end, that we all will rise from the dead, and that we hope to be with God and with the communion of the saints for all eternity. We are one with them, especially at Holy Mass. When we come together and we pray, in every Eucharistic prayer, we pray for the people who have died, that they can be with these seven brothers and their mother, that they can be with the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph and all the saints for all eternity. We hope and we long for that at every Mass when we come and we receive Holy Communion, Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament, so that we will be freed from hell for all eternity and truly united with our Lord who loves us so very much. So let's prepare our hearts, my brothers and sisters, to be united to him in this Holy Eucharist.